Hi, everyone. This is Evan Murray. This is Music Industry Insights. Thank you for listening. This podcast is with Rhonda Lane, the Executive Director of Music NL. Music NL is an MIA. An MIA is a Music Industry Association. Canada has music industry associations in every province and territory. These offices receive federal money or government money in order to operate. So they have people that work in an office that have different tasks. They have boards of directors that approve or deny, you know, initiatives that are created by people in this office. This office collects memberships from the territory or province it's in. People pay a certain fee to join, and then they are, you know, privileged with newsletters every week or biweekly or monthly about information and opportunities in the music industry. Music industry associations also conduct export. So the government points at certain countries and they put a budget out, and then these music industry associations go to their membership and they see which artists they should be exporting. Companies around the world, music industry companies around the world, love MIAs because they know MIAs have government money. So they want these MIAs to sponsor their companies in other countries in order to work with. You know, one of the best things, one of the things I like about Rhonda the most is that she's brand new. Not only is she brand new, but it's the way that she sees the business world. She comes from a trade, like, so in government trade, she comes from a trade background. She is not one of these, like, snooty, you know, no nose up in the air, I know everything people in the music industry, thank God. Rhonda is a very open, minded and very creative and friendly person that works in the music industry. And it's been a great pleasure to get to know her. Her background in trade, I think, is to her advantage. I have no idea why. It's only a new thing now that Canada is contacting their trade offices around the world in order for them to do better business. This should have been done forever. I don't know why this is new. Canada has over 160 trade offices around the world. This is a perfect way to collect assets. This is a perfect way to learn about the music industry all over the world. And it's a perfect way to do better business. Take what you can from this interview. If you're a Canadian, this is going to be deeply insightful into how your music industry association works. If you're from anywhere else in the world, this will be deeply insightful about how Canada works in their, you know, government-funded facilities or government-funded functions. I want you to extract the information, listen closely. If you have any questions or comments for me, you can reach me at evan@musicindustryins.net. That's evan@musicindustryins.net. Shoot me a line. Tell me what you think. Was this a good podcast, bad podcast? What else do you want to know? But most of all, I want you to enjoy it. Hello, Rhonda, and happy birthday.
Hey, Evan. So glad to be here, and thank you. Yeah, it's an exciting day for me, my birthday. Happens every year at the time, but really glad to be here.
Okay, thanks a lot. So can you, let's start off with this. Like, you know, please introduce, tell us about you, and then tell us about what you're doing, please.
Sure, I'd love to. So a little about me, and as well, my entrance into this whole new world for me of the music sector, the global music sector. I've been at Music NL now for, it'll be a year this August. So I can't believe it. A year has almost passed since I took the leadership role as executive director with Music NL.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It was an exciting transition for me. And I think for some of the, I want to talk a little bit about some of the skills. I think the skill set that I've brought to the sector that I feel is definitely complemented what we've already built over the years in Newfoundland and Labrador. So my background is very much a business, associations, policy, government, just really creating and clearing the path for those in the music sector so they can do what they need to do. So I'm really bringing, I would think, a different lens to the industry association in Newfoundland and Labrador, and also in many ways resetting some of the things we're doing and continuing with the good stuff.
Well, I'd really like to just mention that, you know, I have been a witness to the previous office in Newfoundland and now the work that you're doing. And it is a night and day comparison. And I'm not just saying that to, I'm not saying to say anything negative about anybody, but I'm saying to say something very positive about you. And that's that I see a very genuine spirit and energy and focus on the people that you're serving. And of course, like being through, you know, in and around Canada, like I have interacted with different MIA offices. And I think it's also important to note that MIA is Music Industry Association, and each province has their own one. And you being new to this game, you're coming from the business trade sector. So this is something I really kind of want to dive into. So what exactly were you doing inside of business and trade?
So for the last almost decade, and just before I came to Music NL, I was actually the acting CEO of the St. John's Board of Trade, which is a chamber of commerce, and they represent the private sector, and they do a lot of lobbying, advocacy, again, just ensuring that governments create the right environment for business growth. So wow. it really was a cool and great transition, because those in the music sector, I mean, when we look at businesses, they are entrepreneurs, they're startups, there's people that are seasoned, and they need the exact same environment from their government, be municipal, provincial, or federal, to kind of set the right stage so that they can grow. And a lot of times I'll say, you know, government should set the stage and then step back and get out of the way and let the musicians or the business owners do what they need to do.
What a breath of fresh air to kind of hear somebody in the Music Industry Association talk about musicians as a business, because I think that a lot of like the Music Industry Association kind of participation in the Canadian music industry, even when I was a musician years ago, it was almost stifling my career and not like kind of, let's say, helping it flourish. Because what was kind of happening in the past is that the way that you're looking at things in a broad way of like, you know, you're working, you're serving the people who are coming to you, is that there were people in the MIA were kind of operating at like their own personal record label, you know, and as much as that, like that's kind of helpful for a certain amount of people, it really doesn't help the majority of people. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about how you're operating business inside of your Music Industry Association.
One of the biggest advantages I've noticed over the last 8.5 months, Evan, is really my ability, because I'm new to the sector, is really to question everything. It's new to
me. God. Sorry. You know,
No, it's true. And sometimes I'm like, should I ask that question? But yeah, do you know what? I'm asking the basic questions. I'm peeling back that onion, right? By every going through layers and layers, because it's new to me. And you know, for someone that may have been in the sector for years, sometimes you become complacent. Then you don't want to ask. But I really was so new to everything, and really started from scratch building my connections. It's truly been one of the best things, I think, for us in Newfoundland and Labrador, as we reestablish partnerships, get connected. So, for example, when you and I got connected almost, gosh, I guess it's well close to a year now as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, meeting new people and having that fresh lens to question and listen.
Well, one thing I want to mention about music, you know, Music Newfoundland, Music NL as well, is just that I've just seen, like, you're just operating as such a, like, there's just so many things happening at once. So, I mean, like you're just throwing out opportunities constantly. And I'm seeing this, like, it's just like, I haven't really seen and Music Industry Association produce as much, say, opportunity content as you guys are. And also it's not only like, it's just not randomized anything. It's also really specific to like certain, I guess I want to say needs to the community. Like, can you kind of touch on that? Like how what your focuses are on?
Mm-hmm. So the current board that is in place at Music&L have really trusted me with the leadership, which is amazing. I mean, that board and staff, that whole piece is so critical to a successful association. And if you overlook that, major, major trouble can arise. So I think having a board that trusts me to run the day-to-day, I mean, they set the vision and tell me where they want to be. And then it's my job and my team's job to get us there. Mm. And I'm doing, so as you said, we're doing a lot, but it's very focused. It's not willy-nilly. It really is providing opportunities. And then people can choose if they wish to take them on. We have a growing membership of, we're going to hit almost 500 members, which is really awesome. And
That's amazing. Because I think you're coming from a place of either under 100 or just over 100 before you came in.
Yeah. When we started this time, December, January, to clean up our database, because we really didn't know who was active, who wasn't. It was just a big database. We were maybe just getting close to maybe 150, 200 active members. And I can proudly say today, we'll hit 500, I'd say before August comes. So we've got a wide, diverse group to serve. So we have to have lots of different opportunities.
Well, and you know, I see you doing radio interviews. I see you active in like the communications in the industry, the media industry. These are things that are so imperative into, because you're kind of at the helm, you know, you're at the helm of like basically organizing a music industry of the province, or at least giving opportunities to people in the province who want to have a career in music. And the business that you're operating at is like, I mean, it is working at a capacity that some export offices or say development offices work in Europe. And so I'm just really happy to see how you've been working and the things that you've been doing, because I've been following you about doing your interviews and even the opportunities. And I think that even some of the other opportunities that you're offering, I think a lot of musicians don't really they have to take the time to read your emails. They have to take the time to read the information, because there's some serious opportunities in there. I mean, some things that I've come across, I was blown away, honestly. And one of them was the for licensing. There was one, this was months and months ago, but you had made a partnership with a licensing firm. And I was just like, what? Like, I can't believe that you guys put this together. So, I mean, that's just one instance, but so it really, there is some responsibility for the musicians. They have to understand, read the information, find out what you're doing, but because you are providing the opportunities, what are some of the challenges that you're facing?
Couple of challenges, but Evan, you just hit on two really, really key pieces, important. And because until people realize the value, and that's taken a lot of work to rebuild the trust of the community and prove that we have a value proposition, that was a challenge. And that has been our focus over the last year, was to rebuild trust in the community. And you don't rebuild trust easy. You need to prove that, right? By your actions every single day. Your talk is cheap. it's about actions and what you're doing and providing value. But there's so much information that crosses the path of every human these days. That's been a challenge. It's making sure that our members and people in the sector know that we're actually providing real opportunities, and they, if they're not connected, they're missing out. So that's a challenge. So we're trying to use every vehicle we can, newsletter, email, phone, meetings, pop-ups, wherever we can be, we're trying to be in their face so that they get it. But that's been a challenge because some people, you know, reading a boring newsletter, not thinking there's anything in it, and you've probably just missed something huge.
A life-altering opportunity. Yeah.
You know, you're so right. And we laugh, but it could be that small step or that connection could change your life.
Yeah, it could change your path completely. I mean, this is what happens. Like, it's not the things that you're looking for. It's the things that happen to you, you know, kind of deal. Like, you can plan all you want, but it's the things that are going to come into your sphere, let's say, that are going to be the things that really alter your course the most. Some of the things I want to touch on too is like, okay, so there, I want to mention to you also that I think the community of Newfoundland for the majority or anyone who's paying attention to what you're doing is highly impressed by your work. So I really want to say that publicly because it is outstanding, you know, the job that you're doing. And I want to confirm that with you, that I think you're doing an amazing job. And there was a lot of scrutiny and there was a lot of complaining. If you go across Canada and you talk to people in their provinces and they're musicians, the one thing they're going to complain about is their music industry association, especially if they're not the ones constantly being funded or selected. So the thing is, across the board, the people that I'm talking to in the region are super happy with, you know, the services you're providing. And I think that is like something that's ultra kind of important because, like I said, there's a lot of disdain even across Canada for, you know, people. I've also seen you making an effort to go into the smaller communities. And this was never done, and this is never done by MIAs as well. So they have a title of the province, but what they'll do is they'll, for some reason, always focus in the major cities. And maybe that's like, okay, well, that makes sense because that's where the majority of people are. But the thing is that musicians live everywhere, right? And I mean, if you belong to that province, you should be able to tap into that or know that you can tap into that opportunity. Tell me a little bit about more procedurally what you're doing, because what you're doing is changing the game too, by the way. And I want you to know that. I think that in a period of time here, we're going to be able to summarize more and more of what you're doing. And I think people are going to be able to look at it in a case study and say like, hey, like this works.
Well, thank you. It's been the support and people willing to give us that chance and to be open to trying us out and seeing the value that has allowed us to continue. And success breeds success. So, you know, when you start doing good things and things start happening, you start to see you're building a momentum. And I'm definitely feeling a momentum, an excitement. And there are a whole bunch of reasons and people that have been part of that. But I want to talk a little bit about what you said about, you know, the procedures. And I think one of the things we've been trying to do is ensure that we're instilling confidence in the members so that they know they deserve to be at the economic table. I mean, a lot of times when you look at social and economic issues, you've got your arts community kind of off in a silo doing what they do. And I've seen that. So in my decade with the chamber movement, there were very little interactions with, I would say, what we talk about as economic drivers and ensuring that the arts community have been there. There's one great example in Newfoundland and Labrador of a not-for-profit that was started, Business and the Arts NL. And their goal is just that. Because they go hand in hand. You're not going to have a successful economy unless you have all facets. So that's been one thing, is making sure that musicians and those in the sector know that they deserve to be at the table, that they lean in and they show up when they're invited. But we're taking that seat and we're going to be at every economic table because the music sector does contribute to the GDP of not only Newfoundland, Labrador, Canada, but the global economy, as you know, in the work you're doing across the world. So that's one thing. And the other thing, Evan, has been building strategic partnerships. And there's been two that I've focused on this year. One is with the tourism sector. So I made it my job to be in the face of my colleagues running Hospitality Newfoundland and Labrador, the destination management associations, because music tourism is a thing. And when you look at all the experiences our operators are rolling out, not only in Newfoundland and Labrador, but Canada, the music scene is so intertwined. We don't want it to be an afterthought in policy. We want you to think music when you're creating your policy. The other strategic partnership I'll share with you before I take a break and we'll have a chat is with municipalities, Newfoundland and Labrador, and the 230 municipalities across our province. So we have these structures in place that we can partner with, and we have, there's so much a mutual benefit of us working together that it's a no-brainer. And I'm pleased to say we have had success in working with both those stakeholders.
The intelligence of what you're talking about is the part that is the most impressive, because it takes people to make an economy. It takes networking. It takes all of these things. All of that is inside of the arts and music community. And if a, you know, business recognizing that is only to the business advantage. And what you're touching on, especially in tourism and hospitality. So I want to touch on that first. I'm having conversations with people in Asian countries and also in European countries about the fact that, like, they're coming to the understanding about tourism too, but, you know, music is an economy that could be attached to other economies. It can bolster other places of business. And I mean, like, why, you know, there's the element of export. Like, why haven't we been doing export a certain way? Like, why are we gathering five bands, spending a crazy amount of money to send them somewhere for one weekend and then sending them back home? Like, why isn't there some kind of trade initiatives with, like, a country itself, you know, like take, or a region itself, you know, mm-hmm. taking like five artists from Newfoundland and putting them in somewhere in a region in France, and then having them maybe even stay there for a little while, like to develop themselves. Or I came across striking information. I wanted to share it with you. And I want to talk about it here as well, is that the way that Sweden does, like, export, let's say, is like they have these regional offices. So in Sweden, they don't have provinces. They'll have like a regional office. And what they'll do is that the regional office will actually foster the band. So they'll foster the band and their growth. They'll pay attention to what needs to be done inside of their marketing or performance or et cetera, et cetera. They have like a, let's say like a, you know, a checklist of like, you know, trying to build this perfect, not a perfect, but trying to build a marketable, you know, a business for the client. And then what they'll do is once they're at a certain stage, they'll talk to them about where, you know, export. And I just think it would be such an amazing idea for like a person like yourself and say like a regional person, like in Sweden, or a regional person in France, to have that conversation about exactly what you're talking about, because tourism, but not only in tourism, but it, you know, the development of an artist in another country can lead to a substantial amount of touristic. I don't know what to say, but a lot of, let's say, content, a lot of tourism content of another place. And now you're talking about municipalities, which even becomes even more interesting, because this means spotlighting areas where you're shedding a spotlight now. So now you're taking the spotlight off of the actual province, but you're putting it inside of communities that could really use this in the opportunity of growing businesses based off of tourism in the future. So, you know, what you're saying is there's big information here. And I think the world is coming to a point now where we're all like trying to get rid of the garbage or get rid of all the extra stuff that we've been doing. And we're trying to be determinative of what is going to equal success. So can you talk a little bit more about, you know, what the possibilities are, what the potential is for the relationships that you're making?
Yeah, I want to take it right down to an example with one of the municipalities and the potential. And they have actually, they raised their hand and want to do this in partnership. And it's Gander, Newfoundland and Labrador. So, but I just got to back it up before I tell you the story about Gander. When I originally reached out to our provincial umbrella group that it looks after the municipalities. It was interesting because they had said, oh yeah, we're here to help you. And immediately the first thing we talked about was, can you get us some musicians to play at our fun night? And that's when it struck me. I think what was most eye-opening about that was probably the extent to which they saw us as a service or a partner. Which we will indeed do. I mean, we have a directory of 500 amazing individuals, but I can tell you that our vision is to provide so much more to a municipality than a lineup of people for their local festival. So when we started talking and I shared the vision with them that it's about creating, well, music cities, which is already a thing and happening all around the world, but how do you make and create music policies that it's not left to the end of whatever business opportunity is happening, that you're just getting a few acts to play and make it a fun event. So Gander raised their hand, the town of Gander. And for any of your listeners out there, you probably would recognize, I mean, Gander became world renowned after the 9/11, and they had welcomed and doubled or tripled the size of their community with all of the flights that were landed. And then the musical Come From Away. So Gander has something very special, I think, and they've just scratched the tip of the iceberg in creating Gander as a music city.
Okay. Come From Away is like Broadway. Like it's a smack, like it's, you know, on the biggest stages in the world kind of thing. So please continue with that.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, We've taken the toolkit, actually, and this is such a nice dovetail of my former role. Some time ago, the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, in partnership with the Music Canada, rolled out a toolkit for how to create a music city, and a step by step. So basically, we threw. I'm a big fan, Evan, of R&D, rip off and duplicate.
Okay.
We do not need to be duplicating things. So in my former life with the chamber, people often, I mean, you just shared, you wanted to see those succeed. You gave everything you had to help others grow, and everyone grows together. So this toolkit, I presented it to the 237 municipalities to explore. Gander raised their hand, and we've had an initial meeting with the town of Gander.
Wow.
And now we're going to start that process. It's a pilot, and we're going to use the toolkit to see what other areas can Gander harness music to grow social and economic opportunities, whether it's the local restaurant having a local playlist or sharing something special. Again, the airport itself is a gem because it was the international airport for our province many years
ago. Historical site, right?
Oh my God, like the rock stars over the years that have landed and spent time in Gander, like that's right. A story. There's so many things to uncover as we work with Gander and figure out what will work for them as they create their music city and provide opportunities. So that's just one little example. And I think any municipality can dig into their history and look into the future to figure out how they can incorporate music to grow opportunities.
Well, you're really talking my language now, because the thing is, like, one of the things that I've always kind of, how I looked at the music industry is, I'm like, why isn't it being more inclusive inside of a region, right? So like, I had an interview with three guys from across Canada the other day, and I'm not sure which order these podcasts are going to appear right now, but let's say they went first or we go first, I don't know, but three successful guys in music. So one is from, you know, British Columbia, one is from Niagara Falls, and one is from Nova Scotia. And one that, I mean, they talk about their challenges being in the Canadian music industry, but they've also talked about how they've met those challenges and, you know, they make a living, a full living, paying mortgages and bills, and how they, you know, survive in the music industry. One of the main things that came up is challenges. And I think this is actually causing maybe an economic and cultural crisis that maybe mainstream business people don't really understand is that like the media in places is inclusive to, let's say, top tier, and that's it. But it's like top tier from like, you know, relationships with other, like, say, businesses. And it's not, it has nothing to do with where they're actually located, you know? So let's say like the FM, the most popular FM stations in Newfoundland, how much Newfoundland content are they actually playing? You know, like the television programs in Newfoundland, how, or anywhere, whatever, but how much content are they actually focusing on instead of, you know, stuff coming from the USA or stuff coming from here? Like how much are they actually propagating their own peoples? Because the thing is, that's what's going to drive commerce up. If the big media people start to play fair with everybody, is that if you make stars in your own region, those stars are going to generate commerce. And that commerce is going to go straight, it's going to touch every single person inside of that sector as well. So, you know, what you're doing when you're talking to Gander and making a Music City, or you're, and you're also the representative of all these artists. I mean, I just see something that maybe has never happened before. Like maybe there's going to be some sensical thing that the town will say, oh my God, we actually are missing out on all this money if we built our own stars, you know, or like, oh, you know, so can we talk about that? And can we also talk about this thing called inclusion, or is it, you know, part of your strategies in the actual office?
Yeah. So let's just, I want to break down what you just shared, a whole bunch of stuff in there, but really about celebrating and creating and using the content from your region or province, wherever, depending on where you are. But that I think is so untapped and untouched, and what that's going to do. One of the things I learned, actually, I learned from a session that you connected me with the Canada Music Week.
Okay.
So I had this great B2B meeting with this gentleman, and he had shared, I said, three pieces of advice for me, because, you know, we only got 10 minutes. So I said, give me three things. That's the way I took every meeting. Give me three pieces of advice. And this one brilliant man talked about how we move out of the pandemic, and he believes that the up and comers and the new emerging artists are going to require the most support, because your well knowns and your rock stars are going to get the gigs. As we continue to open up, it's going to be real easy to bring that big name, because the business needs it. Not disputing that. They've been hurting for a long time. So this group of newcomers, emerging artists, really need the supports from their MIAs more so now than ever before. So this is a great example. So let's talk about just a brand new up and comer in Conception Bay South, Newfoundland and Labrador, quote the Raven. So one of the simplest things we could do is at your local restaurant, you're playing that local song, that playlist, and quote the Raven is there, but you actually have a little ad on the table that talks about quote the Raven and their favorite meal at that restaurant, or that they live just down the road. It's creating that local content that I don't think we've ever done before. And it's really simple. We don't need big money to make this stuff happen. These artists live in the community. And we need to celebrate them. So I love the idea you talked about is celebrating them. So I think that there's so much we can do when we look around and find our local artists and how we celebrate them.
Absolutely. So, can I just touch on that for a bit? Because, you know, like also the other thing is like, let's, you know, the world is globalized and there's lots of big companies that move into territories as well. Like how, you know, like Walmart is playing playlists all day long, or gas stations, or 7-Eleven, or, you know, I don't know. I don't want to keep mentioning brand names, but there are places here that are, you know, and, or you're out getting a coffee and it's a, you know, a branded popular coffee place. You're having a coffee, you hear a song. Oh, what's that song? I want to check out that artist, or something like that. Or even having the ability to, like, you know, hit one of those QR codes to try to find out what their playlist is, you know? Exactly. Why can't it be local? Why can't somebody talk to the manager at the store and say, we'd like you to play your local playlist. And this is why, because it's going to make more people eventually have more money to come in and purchase things at your store in the long run, you know? So
exactly. So we need to create a strategy for that, because, and it can look and feel different in every community,
every place, yeah. Right?
Every place, every restaurant, every shop. So one of the things we need to do is probably meet with the members and provide sessions no different from how does a local small business break into the Walmart supply chain or the Costco? How does that local artist break into that supply chain? So that's a role where we need to provide those opportunities and connect them, because I found they're more than willing. Now more than ever, large corporations have a much heavier social responsibility. And not only do they have to give back, it makes sense for their bottom line to be a part of where they live. That's
growing their community, help, you know, growing their customer base. Why not? And you touched on one thing that you really touched on, I wanted to come back to you. That's quite significant. And I think you're absolutely correct about it. Is that coming out of the pandemic, right out of the gate? Yes. Companies are going to go towards the big artists because they need to make a profit margin, which you're absolutely right. And one thing that big business, I don't know how, and I kind of touched on this talking about radio, but like they're forgetting that they have to nurture their future clientele. Like they have to nurture their future stars. They have, and this is where things stopped. Like, I don't know what year it was, but maybe after downloading, or I don't know when, but like, it's just that everyone's like, oh, all the rock stars are dying. No, it's not all the rock stars are dying. It's just that nobody knows about new artists anymore, the same way they did. You know, no, we're not programmed by much music. We're not. The radio gave up. Like the radio was all brand new artists in the 90s going on. Like there was such a emergence of new music. And now there's like none. You know, like if you turn on any popular radio station, you're literally either hearing K-pop, pop music, or songs from the 80s and 90s. Like it's like you have to foster the new generation, you know? So I think you're going to have a big challenge with that, because you're going to have to like literally talk to the heads of these corporations, or somebody's going to, you know, you're going to have to maybe even amalgamate with people to talk to them and say, yeah. Hey, like, yeah. You know.
Yeah, that's definitely, when we talk with the large corporations and wherever their head offices are, that's really a movement that a sector like the Canadian sector needs, yes. Everyone needs to be a part of. Yeah, that's huge. And, but you know, you start small and figure it out. I wanted to touch on one of our opportunities that we have ongoing, but it goes right back to an example you shared about, you know, having a QR code and having local music at your fingertips. So the city of St. John's, which is the capital city of Newfoundland and Labrador, reached out to us with an amazing idea where they wanted to create a summer trail mix to put local music on every trail throughout the city of St. John's. So when people were, it's really fun, and it was a great idea. So you can be on any trail as you're out walking, jogging, hiking, biking, and just hit that QR code and get a sampling of over 40 local musicians and content that you may never have heard of.
What a great idea. Okay.
It was. It gets better. So what we did was we challenged all municipalities across Newfoundland and Labrador, because why not? It's a song list. It's a playlist, a virtual. It's there for the taking. So now we have, I don't know if I've got 8 partners. So right now, pretty much anywhere you go in our province, you may come across that code. You may be in Reedville, out in Central, the Northern Peninsula, Grand Falls, Windsor, Gander, St. John, CBS. The towns are, and the trails, people are just eating it up. And we've got local music sprinkled, which is great for local people and visitors as we open up, as we opened up to Canada last week on July 1. So we are trying to really push that opportunity for local artists to be heard.
Okay, and go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, it's a really fun, easy initiative that was able to be scaled. We were able to scale that out and allow as many municipalities or hike people with tours or trails to be a part of this. And I only see this can grow, and we can actually create so many different types of genres. If you're going to do a, you want to do a a crazy mountain bike, you want some heavy metal, right? We'll have that genre ready to go.
Well, and the thing is too, I think what people have to realize, like one of the things that we touched on in the conversation when I was talking to three Canadian musicians, is they kept identifying the East Coast as like Celtic. Like they kept like, it was almost like the guy from Ontario just kept wanting to push the point, like, hey, you guys are Celtic, you know, Celtic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, it's just not, right? Like, it's not. Like, it's not just all Irish music. You know, it's not. So tell me about the types of music that you're dealing with in Newfoundland. And like, let's talk a little bit about the regional scene. Like, is folk music super popular? Is pop music or rock music or... what kind of artists are you dealing with on a day-to-day basis, let's say?
So we do have, I mean, I would say that our traditional folk, it truly is one of the areas and genres that you will find a lot of our artists. When I look at if I were to divvy up the 500 members and categorize them, but that's another thing, hey, that's been disrupted. Is having one genre that you play in. And I notice it from, I'm even watching my children, because I'm reading about this and people still feel, you know, that they fit inside a box in a category, but I'm hearing, and I'm being a part of more conversations about, you know what? No, I'm playing different genres. It depends on what I feel. And the consumer, as young as, you know, 8, 9, 10 year olds, are the ones that are really going to drive that. Because when I think about when my little girl listens to a song, when she hears a song, she says, "Oh, Mom, that's a TikTok song." She doesn't know the genre. She knows that song with the mood she's in, and that's what she wants to listen to. And the next one might be completely different. So it's this whole different world that's been disrupted when we talk about how people are consuming music. Mm-hmm. And genres. And so my point is, we do have a large following and a traditional with the folk, the Celtic, our Irish history, we do, but we have put a focus and we are growing hip hop, heavy, loud, because it's just not an area we have nurtured and we haven't gave, I don't think enough attention to making sure we're fostering that growth. So we have a lot of work to do in, I would say, those areas. Country as well. It's very popular in Newfoundland and Labrador. And I'm not sure as an industry association how much love we've actually given to the country scene. So you're going to start noticing our a little bit of love around there as well as we grow that area.
And I think that, you know, and I mean, obviously genres are breaking, as in, like, you know, you can be a multi-genre artist to a point. I mean, like when we look at country music, I mean, it's really hard to say what country music is these days, because it can be so close to pop that you're not even sure how it's called country. Maybe just because it, you know, the type of scale that the guitar player is using, you know, that will kind of like, you know. So, but the thing is too, I've also noticed that there are like quite significantly popular country music artists in Newfoundland as well, who have gained some notoriety in different parts of Canada or even say Europe and the United States. So that's kind of interesting. And in saying that in itself, yeah, I mean, like, this leads a little bit to export now. Like, how are you guys looking at the export game? Because I mean, in some countries in the world, it's not about just having like, okay, let's focus on a country, but some countries actually want more of a certain type of music than others. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I mean, going into, say, like Finland, you know, it might not be the, or let's say you use a really good example. Going into Ireland might not be the best place to go and try to break an Irish, you know, folk band. You know what I mean? But the thing is in Ireland is that they love country pop music. So, you know, like maybe like the Newfoundland brand of Irish folk music will work in Newfoundland. Maybe it won't work in Ireland. I don't know. But it's just an example I'm trying to make. How do you look at export?
So export was one of the areas that we hit a big reset on, because we had to, from the research I did and what we looked at and talking with our partners in government, I don't think the sector as a whole was able to show the return on investment that was being continuously poured in over the years, and not to pick on this sector, because I think it happens across a lot of
board.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Like measuring what matters and having a framework and an accountability. It just wasn't there. Actually, for the first time ever in the provincial budget this year, the government announced a new framework so that the agency boards and commissions and not-for-profits they fund will actually be guided by an accountability framework. Can you imagine that? Yeah, like about time. But how does one give out public money that we all work so hard for in our taxes without ensuring the people they're giving it to have an accountability framework and are actually showing a return on investment and measuring what matters? Or were we just continuously dumping money and hoping something was going to change with the same actions? So we were very pleased, and we got a little loud in our advocacy efforts there to say exactly what you just said. Thank God we're going to be held accountable.
Right. I think that's, you're touching on one of the biggest things that I don't think I'm alone in this, but the thing is that across the board for Canadian funding, it was just like, how are people allowed to make these ultra stupid moves and it just doesn't matter? Or even if it's not stupid, say it was like a good idea, but it didn't pan out. Like, how is it allowed that, like, it's just, okay, whoops, we just blew $180,000. Okay, what's next? You know, like, where are we going next? You know what I mean?
So kudos to the Newfoundland and Labrador government this year for actually implementing that for everyone they give money to, because wow, we should be accountable. And if what we're trying, and there's lots of room, you know, for failure and trying, but you got it then if you failed, well, then what's different? How are we going to succeed? So we've done a reset, I believe, with our export, and we'll see how it goes. And you and I have chatted about this in the past. We've now expanded our export program. So in the past, it seemed like we had focused on it during Music NL Week, a big heavy lift. We did a lot of amazing things, brought in international delegates and domestic delegates. And then I think we probably sprinkled some conferences throughout the year. What we're trying this year, and stay tuned for your listeners and anyone that we need to connect with around export, is an export academy for 52 weeks of the year. So what we'll be doing is rolling out and doing a call for artists to be part of two cohorts, an export emerging and export ready. So we'll be building the pipeline as we continue to work with the ready artists, but doing it different ways all year round, all along, and just trying some new things, but really bringing in the experts. Because as I mentioned to you, I'm not an expert in exports. So we're going to bring in some key people that've got knowledge and can help us create the strategy. So this is our first year trying something totally different with our new Export Academy.
That's fantastic, Rhonda. That's amazing, because you're touching on exactly what's the heart of the matter, is that the thing is, like, you know, people need to pay attention to their growth, right? And you have to witness that growth, and you have to be able to say, okay, not guess or because they tell you they're ready, but why are they ready? You know, how are they ready? Why do they want to go where they're going? And if they're going somewhere, do the people even want them there? You know, like, so there's so many factors. And I think having this new setup that you're doing is going to take a lot of the mystery out, let's say. So congratulations to you guys on this is exceptional to hear about this.
And this is the first time I've talked about it publicly, because we haven't launched. We figure we'll be geared up to ready to tell the world mid to late August, with a full on September 1 start. Wow. With the cohorts. So it's a learning year for us, and we're going to tweak, we're going to do things that are wrong. We'll fail, we'll succeed. But I think at the end of the year, we're going to look back and have a whole lot of wins and a clear direction then as we continue to build. But you're right. Export just doesn't happen. You just don't become export ready. They're just like any small business or a startup. What stage are you in, and what steps, and what have you done? Because there's so much prep, as you said, when we talk export, it's a huge, and it takes so many players and pieces and work. So we're breaking that down. So I'm excited about that.
Well, also that it's a new initiative. So the thing is, like, it's impossible to say right now, but what I know will happen is that you're going to have so much information based off the year to look back on and to learn so much about how to even keep doing it better as well. You know, yeah. So I mean, it is ultimately exciting to even talk about this because it needed to be reimagined. And the way that you're reimagining it, I think it's powerful. And I think that the opportunities are there for the, you know, the artists in Newfoundland. I'm going to kind of swing back around here and I won't keep you much longer, but I did want to talk about the fact that, you know, Canada is an ultimately socially progressive country. Well, it is a company, the business of Canada, but it is an ultimately progressive country, in social awareness and in the humanities, let's say. I know for a fact a lot of Canadians don't realize that, but the fact that how long I'm outside of Canada and all the other things I'm doing around the world, I know that my country is like probably one of the leading countries if not the leading country in the world when it comes to equality and civility and socialization and things that like just don't exist in a lot of countries. I think Canadians take that for advantage a lot of the times. We just have it so good. We don't realize how good we have it. How does that affect your music industry association? Like your job itself, is there criteria that you have to meet? Are there certain things that need to be met with, in the humanities sector, let's say?
I want you to rephrase so I can actually give some great examples. Just rephrase what it is you want me to talk about. Is it like from a membership perspective or do you just mean what we're doing?
Yeah. So what you guys are doing, like, do you have things in your association that guidelines, let's say, that you have to follow, you know, for people to feel like they belong there or like, you know,
Yeah, totally. So, just not unlike what we did with Export. When I came on this time, well, last year, we really didn't have anything in place when we looked at our policies, our procedures, how we functioned, and what I like to refer to as the tone at the top. So someone needs to set the tone. And when the leader or the leadership neglects a tone at the top, it's wide open. No one knows what their goal is, what we're trying to achieve. So for us, the tone at the top was set that we were going to make diversity and inclusion a priority for our music industry. So we just started, you know, and it wasn't like, oh, here's the plan we're going to do, because we really didn't know. And the world was talking about it, right? As the world was changing and certain milestones happened with Black Lives Matter and everything that has just been, there was this like change. There were so many things you could be doing and there's so much work and research. But for me, ultimately, nothing happens until you do something. Action. Right. You can talk and talk and talk and research. And I was a part of that world, I would say, in economic development, where I just got so sick of the talk. Nothing happens until you do something. And that's when you learn faster than anything you can do. So what we started doing, we just started doing stuff. We started hiring underrepresented staff and having them lead the initiative. We started asking our members. We hired a consultant with Diversity NL. We put policies in place. So we were trying out new things. We reached out to the stakeholders in the community of the underrepresented groups that we wanted to work with. Wow. So we have identified immigrants. We Newfoundland and Labrador is the fastest aging population in Canada. We will die unless we can't have babies fast enough. You know, it takes 9 months to produce one of them. and then they got, you don't have them in the economy until they're 16 contributing or paying taxes. So we need immigration. So that's another focus for Music NL is, are we being inclusive and diverse as possible to welcome newcomer musicians and to support them just like we support local. So wow. That's been a big thing for us, which is
And I mean, it's so important that people know that about not only Canada, but like your office. I mean, like this, excuse me, like this is what makes Canada an amazing country. And it's what makes what you're doing also amazing as well, because it's about making sure everyone has an equal opportunity. And it's actually like paying attention to make sure they have an equal opportunity. So, I mean, that's something that's extraordinary. And I will say it again, like you can, I won't mention any countries, but I'm telling you that the majority of countries around the world, you're not even going to see that take place, you know? So
I'm really proud of the work we've done and what we've been able to achieve in such a short time. And it really just takes an open attitude and an open mind. It's not hard. I mean, you just need to be open to the possibilities, and there's going to be wins and there's going to be failures, but it's not hard to be open and try. You may not know where you're going, but you figure it out. And when you're ready, the right experts show up in your life to help you, right? When you're open to that.
Well, and I kind of just want to, like, you know, summarize a little bit of the stuff we've talked about. Like, there's a lot of change that's been going on. You've been offering a lot, you know, you've been gaining a lot of really important opportunities. You've been sharing those with the community. Your community membership has grown exponentially. You're looking at a new way of doing export. You're looking at regional development as well, which is something that, like, literally almost drove me crazy. But, you know, the entire time I've even been involved in the music industry. So you're doing all of these key factors. You're really designing something that is building a new house, you know, you're building a new house for the people in your community. And I think that the world and other people in other parts of the world, I encourage them to reach out to you. I encourage them to trade with you and do business with you. And I encourage them to seek and look inside of the music industry inside of Newfoundland, because with someone at the helm like yourself, there's nowhere to go but straight up. So I'm super happy that you're in the chair that you're sitting in, and I'm super happy to talk to you about all of the incredible work you're doing. So thank you so much, Rhonda. And is there anything, you know, you'd like to talk about before we say goodbye?
I just want to thank you for this opportunity and allowing me to reach a completely, I think, different audience, especially as we prepare to take export to a new level. Thank you for your continued support and membership.
Absolutely. I'm a Music NL member.
You are. You're one of the 500, almost 500 that we work for every day and are there to support. So thank you for that support. Thank you for the connections around the globe that you've provided me with. And for all the things we just talked about, people can find it at www.musicnl.ca.
Thank you, Rhonda, and have a very happy birthday.
Thank you, Evan. I will.
Take care. Bye for now.